Rabbi, this is your original?
Yes, thanks. Thank you so much.
Okay, I agree with you, but
because if I understand correctly, up to this page we already have, so we'll do it.
Hopefully, I've written. I have a conference coming up today, tomorrow, and the next day, but I don't know how much I'm required to be here. So
are you with me today?
I'm with you today, okay. But the Shiloh is
so tomorrow. You didn't leave your telephone in there, did you?
I didn't know it was mine. I thought I leave my telephone, my glasses, and my watch, and my pen everywhere. That's me.
I was saying that there's one on the table there, and it's not mine. And
yes, it's mine.
Okay. Well.
Wow. Well, come on. The
nice.
Disappearing on me.
You got to make sure there's no chametz in there because
taking
you know
what chances
is that you have to take a ladder to get the chametz from the high point. So.
Yeah, it's shmikora, but now those are from the sukkah.
Right. Not the
now
holiday.
That's
not for the holiday.
But if those are part of the sechach, now they've been used for something.
Right. So you want to use them for another mitzvah, maybe since they
know
one mitzvah.
Maybe it's now a kli, it's mekabel tumah, and you can't use it to support the sechach.
Because he used it to get to his heart, your chametz in it. All right. So the last thing that we discussed in the Ramban was his question from Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, if Rashi identifies Tashbisu as Bittul, so what was Rabbi Akiva's, what was his proof that Biyom HaRishon has to refer to Yudalid? Why can't it refer to Tesvav if Tashbisu equals Bittul? Meaning, the whole premise of Rabbi Akiva that Havara is an Av Malacha, right? Havara is an Av Malacha, and therefore it cannot be that we're going to burn our chametz on Pesach itself. That would be a violation of an Av Malacha. Well, if you're identifying Bittul or Tashbisu as Bittul, then what are we talking about an Av Malacha? Bittul is not an Av Malacha. That's the Ramban here is coming to defend Rashi on this point. But Tosus raises this objection to Rashi. Let's go over it one more time. How could Rabbi Akiva prove that when it says Tesvav, it means Yudal, meaning when it says Yom Rishon, it means Erev Pesach, based on the fact that Havara is an Av Malacha? Who's talking about Havara? Tashbisu is fulfilled through Bittul. And Bittul is not a Malacha. That's the question that Tosus raises against Rashi, because Rashi identifies Tashbisu as Bittul. So Ramban says, Eino Kushya. Ramban rejects this question. Why? Ti'atu bir lavda oraisahu? Are we saying that according to Rashi, Tashbisu requires Bittul and only Bittul, exclusively Bittul? But rather, kol shemavayer vaday mashbis hu. That certainly, if he destroys it physically, that also includes a kiyum of tashbisu. Now, when we read this line in the Ramban, before we see Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation, we assume what the Ramban means is, as the Ran says, there are two options for tashbisu. There's bittul, and there's havara, physical hashbasa. But the Rav is going to come up with a whole different perspective on what the Ramban is saying here. But anyway, the key words here in the Ramban is kol shemavayer vaday mashbis hu. And then the Ramban says the following: Hochi ka'amar achmona. This is what the Torah means with tashbisu. Shehei sa'ar batel mibateichem. That the sa'ar should be out of your homes. Now, if that be the case, there are two ways of getting Siyar out of your homes. One is through Bittul, which is Bepeh. And now he has something called Bittul Biyadayim, meaning you can do a Bittul with your hands. And Ein Bittul Biyadayim, says the Rabban, El B'Sreifa, that by doing Sreifa, we accomplish a new category of Bittul. It's Bittul, but it's Bittul Biyadayim. Since the Torah didn't use the word tisrafu, shmamino bittul bepeh, nami bittulhu. That's the language of the Ramban. So again, we have on the one hand bittel b'peh, and that we're going to derive from the fact that the Torah doesn't say tisrfu, but rather it says tashbisu. And then when we do sreifa, that's called bittel b'yadayim. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest the following interpretation of the Ramban. According to Rashi, tashbisu is fulfilled through bittel. There is no obligation to burn the chametz. But when he burns the chametz, included in that maisa biyadayim of sreifa, there's also bittel b'lev. Bittel b'lev is latent, is assumed in his sreifa. Do you remember that we discussed this at one point?
So even after sreifa, you would have an explicit or an implicit bittel?
Right, the sreif itself generates an implicit bittel. And that's called bittel biyadayim in the language of the Ramban.
And can you translate implicit bittel into English? Bittel meaning?
Meaning that I don't want this chametz to exist. The fact that I'm destroying it is the most profound physical representation or manifestation of the fact that I don't want this chametz to exist. And therefore, when I burn the chametz, that is bittel. It's even a more profound bittul because it's bittul biyadayim. It's not only bittul b'lev, but what really achieves the bittul and gets rid of my chametz is the bittul b'lev. The bittul biyadayim is an outward expression of the bittul b'lev. It sort of conceals the bittul b'lev, but the bittul b'lev is definite and it's assumed. You can assume the bittul b'lev.
If I'm forced at gunpoint to burn something, I'm not makayim bittul.
Ah, that's something else, right?
Let's say I'm not over baliyara because it doesn't exist, but I'm not makayim bittul because there's
right.
No,
we're talking about free.
There's no implication that I really don't want.
Right. We're talking about free will. Just, you know, if you burn your chametz out of free will, it means for sure we can imply
I don't want it.
Right. There's an implicit bittel belave in the bittel of sreif of the adayim. Oh, so Rabbi Kiva wants to know the following. If the Torah recognizes the possibility of achieving bittel belave through bittel biyadayim, meaning that sreifa becomes now an option to implement the chiyuv of tashbisu, then it cannot be on Yom Rishon. It can't be on Yom Tov itself, because sreifa, once you recognize it as an option, is a violation of Maleches Yom Tov.
The Torah's phrasing of tashbisu is because it recognizes that some people will want to actually demonstrate, but not that it does anything.
Right. There's no absolute obligation.
Because the Torah says that some people may want to do it. Obviously, we're talking about Yom Tov, because some people.
The Torah doesn't absolutely, without any conditions, unconditionally obligate you in sreifa, but the Torah allows you to avail yourself of that possibility. And that possibility is certainly valid because it has within it a bittul b'lev. So it's a bittul b'yadayim with an implicit bittul b'lev. And Rabbi Akiva says if the Torah is allowing you to avail yourself of that alternative, that possibility of namely sreifa, then how can you do that on yontif? This becomes havar shelo litzorech and havar zanav malo. Now yesterday I want you to know, I don't know if we'll have time for this, but Rav Zsolti in his Sefer Mishnas Yavetz has an entire siman that goes on and on. I tried to learn it last night about why sreifa in the case of chametz is called shelo litzorech. You remember the sugya of mitoch?
Yeah.
And
hucha litzorech.
Hucha nami shelo litzorech. But it has to be litzorech ktsas. And then something called shelo litzorech klal. So when does a malacha like havar become a malacha on yontif? That's only if it's shelo litzorech klal. So Rav Zsolti wants to understand why is burning chametz considered shelo litzorech klal? Again, it's not litzorech hokol nefesh, we're destroying the chametz, but it's litzorech hayom because the Torah commands me in tashbisu. And if this is a method that I can avail myself of tashbisu, that should certainly be litzorech hayom. Okay, that's what I'm telling you. If you're interested, again, you can push me on this. I could go through the simon. It's pages and pages to try to understand why Rabbi Akiva assumes that burning chametz as a fulfillment of tashbisu is shelo litzorech klal. It should be litzorech hayom.
Because he holds that anything that you could have done before, you have to have done before. And you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, Rabbi Akiva Shita.
Ah, well, again, let's just I don't know how far we want to get off on a tangent.
He's happy enough calling Shlomo Tzurach Klal.
One second, I'm sorry, Sam, I wasn't focused. I just want to read the one line in the Gemara that's most relevant to us, so I know what I'm talking about. It should be on the top of Hayam and Bays. So Rav Zsolti is not asking his question on Rabbi Akiva. That was my mistake. Right. He's asking his question on the Rambam, because the Rambam paskins mitoch. Rabbi Akiva himself rejects the principle of mitoch.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Sam, what were you saying?
I'm saying Trimutamaya burning Ayantav, he does call Shlomo Tzurach Klal, right?
Well, not necessarily.
But it's not,
I would say the following, that if you could put your pot on top of the Truma Tzeach...
No, I'm saying, but even though it's a Torah, it's a mitzvah, I have to burn it, it's not... He's all,
okay, right, because no, that has nothing to do with Yantav.
Okay, Tzurach has to mean Tzurach of Yantav, not Tzurach that I'm not doing,
correct.
Not doing it just because
it's
I'm...
It's got to have somehow related to Yantav.
A Yantav need.
A Yantav need, like carrying a machzor, or cooking your food, or at least bathing on Yantav, you know, that you need a bath. So that could be with Tzurach Hayom. But if you have a mitzvah that applies the whole week long, and it involves, it entails a malacha, and you want to do it on Yantav, that would be Shalol Tzurach Klal. Okay. Now he asks the following question. We established in the previous discussion where the Ramban, I'll just quote you the punchline, the Ramban says, Shehei Mavur Bechatzos, right? You remember that Tosus objected to Rashi, how could Tashbisu be Bittul when Achilek, and at that point it already is Shasi Sura, it's after Shasi Sura, he can no longer do Bittul. So that's where the Ramban came up with his thesis of Shehei Mavur Bechatzos, right? That he does the Maisa Bittul earlier, and then it's Mavutal Achatzos. If that be the case, then we're stuck here again with Rabbi Akiva. Because what's Rabbi Akiva saying? He's saying that it couldn't be on Yudal, on Tesvav, because then you would not be able to avail yourself of the possibility of Sreifa, because Havar is an Av Malacha. Well, that's not so simple. Why not do the Sreifa on Erev Pesach, meaning on Yudalid, before the Yisra Malacha of Havara, and it'll be Mavur by Yantav. So we still don't have any justification that when the Torah says Tashbisu, Ach Miyom Arisha Tashbisu, it definitely means on Erev Yantav. Why couldn't it be, why could it be that Tashbisu is, the Kiyum of Tashbisu is on Yantav itself, and the Maisa Tashbisu, the Maisa Hashbasu would be on Erev Yantav? Let me read to you inside. Echevi Rabbi Akiva Rayash Tashbisu Havi Be'erev Yantav, Hare Yochel Sarfo Be Erev Pesach, Lifnei Shkir, Umitzas Tashbisu Tochul Im Shkir Sachamashal Yom Rishon. In other words, how do we know that the mitzvah of Tashbisu has to be fulfilled on the 14th of Nisan, because otherwise we're stuck with the Moleches Havara on Yom Rishon, meaning on Yontif itself? Why not suggest the following, engineer the following mechanics? Let's do the Sreif of Chametz a minute before Shkia on Erev Pesach on the 14th. And then with Shkia, he fulfills the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Shehei Mavur, in this case, B'yom HaRishon, meaning on Pesach itself.
But what about the problem? Are you saying Achilek or not saying that?
Well, Rabbi Akiva is not operating with Achilek. He's only operating with the fact that...
According to Bar Yubar, Matzah doesn't kick in until Yom Tov starts.
That's an excellent question. On the one hand, Tashbisu is going to apply on the 14th, and Yom HaRishon has to refer to the 14th. Again, we're going to have to combine that with the drasha of Lo Tishchat Al Chametz Nam Zivchi, you know, that whole discussion. And it's impossible to assume that the Hashbasa will take place on Yontif because of the problem of Havara She'av Malachas. So Rav Salvechik is asking, maybe Tashbisu means have it mushbas by Yom Rishon. So by the time the sun sets on Lel Tezvav, your chametz has been burnt. It went up in smoke. But the actual burning of the chametz was done on Yudalit a minute before Shkia.
But the Shechitat HaKorban has to be done before that.
Right, but he's talking right now about the mitzvah tashbisu, you know, not about bal yirov vayimotzi. So you're asking, how can I have chametz in my possession in order to destroy it?
When you're doing the shkitat ha-korban, you cannot have chametz in
your possession.
You can't do it just before shkia. You've already done the shkita.
Right. So let's just see if he points this out. He says, "Umukrochin levarsha inyan shel tashbisu beperusho shehe
hachomitz." You're not reading Ramban.
Right. I'm reading here on the bottom of page 20. He says, "Shehe hachomitz kvar mushbas hu shayach rak bi erev yontif bekesher lechatzos." Amol im tashbisu koya yontif gufa mukrochin levarish beinyan acher dainu sheyesh is a meisash bosa bi yontif. He says the following, that if you know that tashbisu means that the chomesh should be mushbas, that logic could apply on Erev Yontif. And you could talk about doing the act of hashbasa before chatzos, and at chatzos it should be mushbas, and that would be achile. But if on the other hand, tashbisu would refer to Yontif itself, then Rabbi Kiva would argue that the Maisash Bos itself has to be on Yontif. It cannot be that you do the Maisash Bos on Erev Yontif, because what does Erev Yontif have to do with Tashbisu on Yontif? You can, right? So the thesis is that you could take your Dalid as an entity and split it into half. You could say that you do the Maisash Bos before Chatzos, and Yehi Mavur Bechatzos, that's the Ramban's Shita in Rashi. But if you're talking about Tashbisu on Yontif, then you're not splitting up the day of Yontif into two halves. So what gives you the right to be Makayim the Maisa Tashbisu on Erev Yontif? He goes on to say in a very dramatic way that being that a Maisa Tashbisu on Erev Yontif would be like a Maisa Tashbisu on Chanukah. He says, "Kimashbis b'chanukah." Three lines up from the bottom of the page, "Shaloye shum kiyum acherkach b'chatzos shel yudalit." To say that the ma'isa hashbasa on Chanukah would now generate a kiyum of tashbisu on yudalit makes no sense. He could have said Tu B'Shvat, whatever it is. He says, "Imkein zed dafka b'yom yudalit." You could take the day of yudalit and split it into half and do the ma'isa hashbasa in the first half. And the kiyum of Yehi Mavur of Tashbisu, the kiyum mitzvah would be at Chatzos. But if we're going to interpret that the mitzvah of Hashbasa is on Yontif itself, then what are you going to do? You're going to set up a Maisa Hashbasa on Erev Yontif? Erev Yontif is like Chanukah. It has no connection. It's not in any way joined with Yudalit, an Erev Yontif.
But the point is that there shouldn't be Chametz on Pesach. So even if you did it on Chanukah, if there was no more chametz, then why wouldn't you?
So the Rav's thesis, you don't have to buy into it, but I want you to hear it at least, to hear it, right? Yeah. He's saying that when you split a mitzvah into a ma'isa mitzvah and a kiyuma mitzvah, there's got to be some tziruf, there's got to be some connection, some relationship between the ma'isa mitzvah and the kiyuma mitzvah. To do a ma'isa mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah and the kiyum is going to be on Erev Pesach, that doesn't make any sense. If you take one day out of the calendar, and that's the 14th of Nisan, and you want to split that day into two parts, so at least you have a day of Hashbasa. And that day of Hashbasa now splits into two. There's the Mais Hashbasa and the Kiyum Hashbasa. That's all Chal within one day.
Into Shkia. Right? Because
no, we're not up to Shkia yet. I'm talking just about the Ramban of the previous day. Yeah, of Chatzos, meaning Shehei Mavur v'Chatzos. What Yehei Mavur v'Chatzos means is that Yudalit as an entity, which is made up of the morning before Chatzos and the afternoon from Chatzos and on, that entity of Yudalit could be split between the Maisash Basa, that's a minute before Chatzos, and the Kiyum Hashbasa with Chatzos. But if you're talking about Hashbasa on the first day of Yontif, on the 15th of Nisan, then you have no way of splitting it up and saying, well, I'm going to do the Maisa Hashbasa on the 14th of Nisan. The 14th of Nisan is as connected to the 15th of Nisan as Chanukah is connected to the 15th of Nisan. So there's no mitzarif, there's no connection whatsoever. And therefore to say that that's a Maisa Mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah, on Tu B'Shvat, you know, that doesn't make sense, the Maisa Mitzvah of Hashbasa.
And you don't want to talk about Shabbos candles. Or Chanukah on Shabbos, right?
So again, now
cross Shkia.
Right, if you go into the issue of Shabbos candles, what that's what that's going to force you to do is to ask the following question.
Might be a kiyum already earlier that
you're... Or the opposite. Maybe the kiyum is on Shabbos when you eat your suda to the Ner Shabbos. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you don't have to create a maisad loka. You also, all you need is the light. You know, the light of... I think we've had some discussions about that in the past. Now, in this context, on page 21, he has a whole presentation of the Rambam. That the Rambam says, Mitzvos Aseh, Lahashbis Chometz, Kodim Zmani Surah. Correct? So the Rambam.
What does Kodim mean?
Okay.
Isn't that obvious?
But look at the Shenemar. The Rambam is saying, Shenemar Biyom HaRishon. You know, at this point in time, the Rambam has not established that we're gonna say that Yom HaRishon means with Chatzos. He's talking about the mitzvah say Lashbis Chometz, and he says it's Biyom HaRishon, and then he adds another phrase of Kodim Zmani Suro. So Rav Salvation is going to make a big deal about the fact that Yom HaRishon, according to the Rambam, is the day of Tashbisu, and then there's halacha of Kodim Zmani Suro. Because within the day of Yudalid, which the Rambam has already defined, Shenema B'Yom HaRishon, we have two different parts, two different segments of time. Right? We split the Yom HaRishon into two. We have Kodim Zman Yisr Achiloso and Liachar Zman Yisr Achiloso. And the Rambam is going to establish that the Zman Yisr Achiloso is with Chatzos, because at that moment you can shech the Korban Pesach. And the Torah says, Lo tzishchar ha-pesach al-dam zivchi. So the big deal that he's making in the Rambam is that if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam doesn't mention achilek. The Rambam only understands that there's a mitzvah tashbisu on Yom Rishon, which b'pi ha-shmua means yudalid. And now we take yudalid and we divide it up into two. Kodem zman yisr achiloso and liachar zman yisr achiloso. And the Rambam is going to say that the actual Ashbasa befall, I mean the actual mice of destroying your chametz, is going to take place Kodem Zman Yisr Achiloso. Now when is the Zman Yisr Achiloso? And who says that I have to destroy my chametz from the moment of Zman Yisr Achiloso? The answer is because the Torah says I can't have chametz in my possession at the time of Shechitas HaPesach. And Shechitas HaPesach is identical with the moment of Yisr Achiloso. But the way the Rambam formulates it, it's a combination of A plus B. He starts with Yom HaRishon, and that's the day on which you have a mitzvah asin lahashbis lachomitz. You're going to add now another condition that on Yom Rishon we have two periods of time. One is called Kodem Zman Achiloso, the other is called Liachar Zman Achiloso. The actual Ashbos is going to take place Kodem Zman Achiloso. Now, how do we know that Kodem Zman Achiloso means before Chatzos and the Rambam doesn't have Achile? And the answer is, says the Rambam, because the Torah says, "Osishkal al chametz dam zivri," which means you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession at the time of Shlitz HaPesach. So the time of Shlitz HaPesach, says the Rambam, is Chatzos. So at that moment, you have an Iser of chametz. Once you have an Iser of chametz, then we're going to have to set up the Tashbisu on our Basar, on Yudalit, before that Zman of Iser chametz. And that's going to be before Chatzos. So this is the way he supports his position that you could take one day and split it into two parts. In a footnote here, he adds an interesting point. This is the Ramban at the end of Masechta Yoma. The Ramban says that Vidui is a Chiyuv Doraisa before Yom Kippur. When the Torah says Visvaru es chatosam, it's not on Yom Kippur itself, it's by Yom Kippur, meaning before Yom Kippur. And therefore the Rambam Shita is that the vidui at the Suda Mafsekes, or I should say before the Suda Mafsekes, is a vidui d'oraisa.
Mincha.
And that's called Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Lifnei Hashem means before the day of Hashem. The day of Hashem is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is always called Lifnei Hashem. And before you get to that moment of Lifnei Hashem, you're obligated to recite Vidui. So when you enter into Yom Kippur, you're already in a state of Tara. Lifnei Hashem, meaning before Bo'o Shel Yom Hashem, is Titaru. You should have to do Tahara. So it comes out that the Vidui of Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah d'oraisa before Mincha, and the kiyum of that Vidui is with the emergence of Yom Kippur after Shkia. At that moment, it's Lifnei Hashem, and you have already achieved the Maisa vive. So I'll read it to you. He says the fact. He says.
And the construct is also going to be that the tahara is what the mitzvah is, not the action.
Right. Well, there are two parts. There's the action and the cue.
But you said before that the action can't cross a day. The effect of an action can't cross a day, right?
Again, what the Torah is saying is that
you should be mevuda, right? You should be clean.
The Torah is setting up Erev Yom Kippur as the time for vidui. So it's not the vidui of Chanukah or the vidui of Purim. It's the vidui of Yom Kippur.
Of Erev Yom Kippur.
No, I'm saying the vidui of Yom Kippur will be implemented on Erev Yom Kippur. That's called Lifnei Hashem Titaru. So what the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titaru means, according to Ramban, again, we're not learning Yumo now, but it would be an interesting project for us, is Lifnei Hashem Titaru means, I want you to be involved in Tahara Lifnei Hashem, meaning before Yom Kippur. So that period of time right before Yom Kippur is connected to Yom Kippur. It reminds me of the fact that, for example, there's an Isser, there's a mitzvah of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. So you see that Erev Yom Kippur, to some extent, is connected. Right? The Gemara says in Yuma that Kol Ochel v'Mitchi Milo Kilu Kilu Isada Mitchi Basiri. So there is a connection, but here he's saying, in terms of the Shas Chovas Vidui, that is the moment before we enter into Yom Kippurim, the kiyum of that Vidui of Titaro of Tara is going to be Chal with Shkia. Okay, he's just using that as a kind of a mashal. He says, V'chein etzlenu b'divir Ramban, Shemaisa mitzvah hu lahashbis kodem chatzos hayom, V'isur maskil b'chatzos. So the kiyuma mitzvah of Tashbisu begins with chatzos, when the isur of chametz emerges. But the maisa hashbasa is going to be on Yudalit, because the Torah says Biyom Arishon, which is Mipiashmu, is Yudalit. That's considered Lifnei Zman Isura, like we said, Lifnei Yom HaKippur. That the Maisa Hashpas is going to be Lifnei Zman Isura, but it's on that day of Yudalit. And Shapir Yesh Lefarish Yesh Kiyum Bechatzos Im Osa Maisa BiYudalit Lifnei Chatzos. Okay. Now he adds another point here, which is, it sounds a little parenthetical, but I think it's more than parenthetical, and that is that if we define Yudalid as the day of Biur, then it makes sense that we could destroy the Chametz on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. Meaning, let me ask you the following question. You're going to implement a Biur Chametz before Chatzos, and I'm going to say to you, ridiculous. That's not chametz. Chametz only becomes chametz with chatzos. The whole year round, it's not chametz. We don't know the difference between chametz and matzah. If today I would show you a piece of chametz and a piece of matzah, again, it might say on the back, on the box, it'll say, you know, chametz on it in big letters, right? On a box of matzahs. But there's no difference between chametz and matzah the whole year round. So the shame chametz only emerges after the Shas Isura. That's why we're so makil with Heksher Kalim for Pesach, because the Bliya was called B'Shas Heter, it was Hetera Bola. You familiar with that? Alright, not for now. So the Rav is asking the following question: how could it be that there's a mitzvah Tashbisu before the Shas Yisura? There's no shame Chametz. So what mice and mitzvah are you doing by destroying Chametz when it's not Chametz? Again, it might look like Chametz to the naked eye, but Al-Pidin is not Chametz. So the Rav's answer is that once we have the Shtikl Torah, the Yudalid as a whole, as an entity, the entire day, is a Shas HaBiur, that the Tashbisu is Chal on the day of Yudalid, then with the mitzvah of Tashbisu, what emerges is the Shem Chavetz. And now it makes sense that I could be involved in destroying the Chavetz, and what I'm doing is being Mekayim a Maisa mitzvah of Bir Chametz, because the Shem Chametz is Chal on Yudalit. Again, the kiyum of the mitzvah being Chametz free, so to speak, Shehei Mevuor, is with Chatzos. But the morning before the Chatzos on Yudalit is the time of Biur. So the Shas HaBiur for Mitzvah Tashbisu is Yudalit, with daybreak on Yudalit. So from that moment, it's already called Chametz.
From that moment, meaning
it's already called Chametz.
That moment is Chatzot.
No. What I'm suggesting is that based on this breakthrough over here, of this revolution, that the whole day of Yudalit is designated as the Zman of Bir Chametz, that Tashbisu generates a mitzvah on Yudalit, right? And the Maisa mitzvah now could take place on Yudalit. It's not like, destroying your Chametz Chanukah time. You begin to understand that the Shem Chametz emerges with Yudalit. And if that be the case, I can now be Mekayim a Maisa mitzvah of Tashbisu of Chametz. It's already Chametz. I'll give you another example. You remember the famous Yerushalmi that you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach.
Yeah.
Well, there's no shame matzah on Erev Pesach. The answer is there is a shame matzah because the Torah says that I'm not allowed to, that I have to destroy my chametz. But once the Torah says I'm obligated to destroy my chametz, then it's a shame chametz. If there's a shame chametz, there's a shame matzah. So you can talk about an Isra Achilas matzah on Erev Pesach from daybreak on Yudal. Because that's already the emergence of the shame, chametz. Oh, he says that this is a machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. This is on the bottom of page 21. The Baal HaMor holds that the Isur of Achilas Matz on Erev Pesach starts with Chatzos. See, because again, the Baal HaMor wants to see a shame chametz. So he says the shame chametz only emerges with Chatzos, because that's the moment in time when I'm not allowed to have chametz in my possession. The Ramban says no. Also, mitzafra, that already from the morning, you're not allowed to eat matzah. Right? My minig is I don't eat matzah the whole month of Nisan. Some have a minig that they don't eat matzah from Purim. You know, there's so many different minhagim exactly when you stop eating matzah. But let's say you go according to the real bare bones minog. You know, the Ikra minog is an Isur matzah on Erev Pesach called Bol Arusosa Erev Pesach. It called Ochel Chametz Matzah Erev Pesach Kibol Arusosa. When on Erev Pesach? So the Baal HaMor says from the time that there's an Isur Chametz, and that's Michatzos V'Elo. And the Ramban says Mitzafra, from the morning. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say the following, that according to the Baal HaMor, the Shem Matzah emerges with the Isur Chametz, and therefore there's no Isur Chametz until Chatzos. You can call it matzah if you like, but it's not matzah when there's no Isur to eat Chametz. So when is there an Isur to eat Chametz or to own Chametz? It's only from Chatzos and on. Therefore you cannot have a Shem Matzah until you get to Chatzos. Oh. But as far as the Ramban is concerned, why does the Ramban say that there's an Isur Achilas Matzah from the morning? After all, that's a difficult Ramban. Where's the shame chametz and the shame matzah mitzafra? The answer we're saying is that since the Yom Yudalit as an entity, even the morning of Yudalit, is already a moment of, or shall I say, it's a candidate moment for the maisa of Tashbisu, right? Because we're differentiating now between the first half of Yudalit up until Chatzos, and from Chatzos and on, the first half is for the Maisa Hashbasa, and the Kiyum of the Mitzvah Tashbisu is Chal with the Isur of Chametz at Chatzos. Well, if I can have a Mitzvah, the Torah commands me to destroy Chametz, and that's before Chatzos, it must mean that it's Chametz. Otherwise, how can the Torah command me to destroy it? Oh, if there's a Chatzos Shal Chametz, then there's also a Chatzos Shal Matzah, hence the Ramban Shita, that you're not allowed to eat matzah from daybreak on the 14th. Now, Rabbeinu Tam has a very unique Shita. I'm about to teach this in my 8:30 class, but we're not yet ready for it. Ramban says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein bir chametz el sreifa. And I'm sorry, did I say Ramban? I meant to say Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says the following, that if you destroy your chametz before chatzos on your dalet, you can, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can destroy it in any way that you choose to do so. You decide how you want to dispose of your chametz. When does Rabbi Yehuda require, as an absolute requirement that you do it through Sreifa? That's, and the Tashbisu is exclusively Sreifa. That's only with Chatzos. V'tzarech iyun. Why should that be? Why should the mitzvah of Sreifa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, apply only at Chatzos? V'niraloma the mitzvah sreifa tluya be'iser hanah shel chametz velo be'mitzvah tashbisa. In other words, there are two laws in destroying chametz. One law is b'taras yisuri hanah. Do you remember we had a long discussion about this? That chametz fits under two different categories. Chametz is an overlap of both universally yisuri hanah, like arlek alayim and basar b'chalav, and it's also a unique shame chametz. So he says, insofar as chametz fits into the universal category of yisuri hanah, here's where Rabbi Yehuda requires sreifa. Sreifa is a unique, because what's the paradigm of sreifa and yisuri hanah in the biblical text? Nosar, because the Torah says hanosar v'alboker ba'esh tisrofu. Yisuri hanah that is similar to nosar, and again you have to know which, but let's say chametz is similar to nosar, they require sreifa like nosar. But that makes sense only when chametz becomes osar b'hanah. At what moment in time does chametz become osar b'hanah? Only with chatzos. So, in the morning there's no yisuri hanah. You can sell it, you can feed it to your dog, you do whatever you want with it. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda up until chatzos would recognize any form of hashbasa. Why? Because then it's only chametz. It's not yisuri hanah. So b'toras chametz, just get rid of it. Get rid of it in any way you want. The maisa tashbisu of getting rid of your chametz could be in any form that you choose to dispose of your chametz. Once the yisuri hanah emerges, now chametz fits into a universal category. The paradigm, the av, would be nosar. And here's where Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein bir chametz el sreifa." So when you destroy your chametz before, you see, what bothers me here is that you want to set up a maisa mitzvah of tashbisu before chatzos. That was the whole thrust of what we've been saying. That was our agenda for today. Well, I don't understand. If you're telling me that I can destroy it before the Yisur Hanah, that's B'toras Chametz. Now I got it. And since I'm destroying it B'toras Chametz, it's not yet Osur Banah. And since, as we said before, the Shem Chametz emerges with daybreak on the 14th, because that's the day of Hashbasa, so whatever method I choose to dispose of it, that becomes my mitzvah of Tashbisa. If, on the other hand, I delayed getting rid of the Chametz until the Yisra Hanah emerged with Chatzos, now Chametz takes on a whole new, an additional identity. It now also takes on the status of Yisra Hanah. And B'toras Yisra Hanah, I now need Sreifa. But now we have a problem. What's our problem? We said that the day of Tashbisu is the 14th. That excludes the night going into the 14th, what's called early Arbasa. So for example, when we do Vedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th, that's not a mitzvah of Tashbisu. And hence the bracha is what?
Albir
Chametz, because that's going to take place on the 14th. There's no Tashbisu before you get to the 14th. Now we have a problem. Because the Rambam says that the very moment that you began your bedika, you already fulfilled your mitzvah. Why? Because there's an implicit bittul. Do you remember this Rambam? The Rambam tried to justify why the bracha is al instead of lamed. And he said al is an appropriate nusach whenever you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, like al netilas lulav, al netilas yadayim. And now the Rambam says al bir chametz. Now, how could the Rambam allow me to have already fulfilled my mitzvah tashbisu on the night of the 14th when I begin my bedika? The day, the time for bedikas chametz is yom yudal, not leil yudal, but yom yudal. So how could the Rambam consider that that I've already fulfilled my mitzvah when I start my bedika? So he says a new concept here. He wants to say that bittul is nimshach. Let's understand what he means. Again, the language is very terse. He says that even though the bittul was done before the zman of bittul, meaning at night when he starts his bedika, nevertheless that bittul continues up until the point that he changes his mind. You know, How should I say, no news is good news here, right? You know,
it's a continuous process.
You know, it's his das, which is, I don't want this chametz, continues. I'll give you an example. Maybe it's not a good example, but in Lishma and Get, so there has to be Lishma at the time of the Ksiva, But there also has to be a lishma in the get at the time of the mesira. Otherwise, he could be mevatel lishma in between the ksiva and the mesira. Now, if you're telling me that the lishma has to exist not only at the time of the ksiva saget, but also at the time of the mesira saget, v'nasam v'yad to get krisus, then what's going on here? In the middle between the zman of the ksiva and the zman of the mesira saget, I don't know where he is. You know, he's watching the Super Bowl game. You know, he's not thinking about lishma and get. You know, write this get for me. So the answer is there's a concept called das hanimsheches, that unless you change your mind, the das continues. So Rav Salvation doesn't quote that here, but I think that would be an appropriate parallel. And he's saying that in Bittul Chametz there's a das hanimsheches, and it means that the chalos Maisa mitzvah of Tashbisu will be with daybreak in the morning, because he continues in that state of mind, not in a kuva, I say not in an active way, but at least in a latent way, of Einarotza Bikiyumo. So the bittul continues, and at what moment does it really become bittul? It becomes a bittul with the emergence of the morning. I mean, that's not Pashup Shat in the Rambam, because the Rambam says that the moment he started his bedikah, he's already fulfilled his mitzvah. But I think maybe what he's saying is that the Rambam is talking about Bir Chometz as an entity. So the actual destruction of the Chometz will take place, if they said 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. But when the day breaks at 7 a.m., at that point his Bittul was already Chal with the emergence of Yudalid. And therefore, when he gets to the Sreifa, it's already a mitzvah that was fulfilled. In other words, the Rambam just wants to get to the following destination. His goal line is that before he burns the chametz and concludes his biur, he's already been mekayim the mitzvah with bittul. So as long as the bittul is implemented before the biur, the Rambam is justified in shifting the nusach habracha from lamed to an al. And now the Ramban quotes Yushalmi. Yushalmi Omer, Tashbisu si'ar mi batechem, davar shehu bebal yirah ubal yimotze. In other words, fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu on si'ar. And what does the word si'ar refer to? Anything that's included in bal yirah by yimotze. Okay, fine. Now the question is, okay, what is Tashbisu? So Yerushalmi says, Ezo zu, Zu Sreifa. So it means that the Yushalmi is reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Bir Chametz Ela Sreifa. Now this is the page that I think we gave out today, am I right?
Yes.
Page 22. No. Does everybody have that? No?
I have it from 22
is from last time.
It's last time? Oh, so it's not in the new packet. So you don't have page 22, do you?
No.
Alright, we're almost up to page 23. So if you can hang in there. I forgot your first name.
Alicia.
Oh yeah, Alicia, right. Your first name is Alicia. Okay, I just forgot it. I know I'm on the Kala side, so I'm getting to know the Chosin, but anyway, so Alicia, if you can take a look here in the middle of page 22, we have
have it on this page, do we? On the Ramban itself.
Yeah, the Ramban should be quoting the Yushalmi on that page. Yeah. No, if not, take a look here.
No.
I'll give this to you.
Just jump around. So
only because I'm always under a time.
Oh, there, okay, I got the page. Thank you.
Yeah, but no, if it's not there, maybe it's on the next page.
I got the next page too.
You do?
Yeah.
The back.
In
other words, yeah.
Here it's here. Look, it's there.
I see it. I see where you're pointing. Yeah. Fine.
Yushalmi.
Okay. Right there, just above the Sifri. Okay, fine.
Right, and then we'll do the Sifri as well. So again, what he gets from the Yushalmi is that Tashbisu requires Sreifa. And he's telling us that what do you have to burn? You have to burn anything that is included under Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze. Now he finds the Sifri. Lo Yirah Lecha Si'ar Roa Ata Le'acherim. Which sounds like, well, there are two ways of interpreting it. Literally, it translates it that you can see the chametz that belongs to someone else. It might mean that you're allowed to see the chametz that doesn't belong to you. I mean, Hefker is going to be the nafkamina. We'll get back to that in a minute. Anyway, the Ramban adds the following comment. Lamadati mimena, what I derive from this sifri, she'en habitul nidrash lanu miloshen tashbisu, that the source for bitul is not tashbisu. And this is going to be a problem for Rashi. This is going to support the sheet of Tosfos, that the source for tashbisu is lo yiro lecha. Lecha means you're not allowed to see your chametz. Right. But after the bitul, it's no longer your chametz. She'en habitul nidrash lanu miloshen tashbisu. We don't derive bitul from tashbisu. In fact, the Yerushalmi identified bitul as sreifa. The Sifri doesn't even mention tashbisu. It just tells you that the source for bitul is shalcha iatarav al ataroa shalacherim. So bitul is really anchored into the avoidance, if I could call it that, of the violation of bayirah bayimatzah, but not into the positive command of tashbisu. Since the Torah says you only violate possession of a chametz when it's yours, CR. But who kamosha pirush lamala? Okay, so now before we understand the pirush lamala, the Ramban here is taking a definite stand on that which he vacillated before above. Above, as we discussed at great length, I just want to review it in a synopsis form. The Ramban vacillated, what is bittul? Is bittul hafkas shem chametz? Right, the Ramban's language was yotza mitoras chametz. Or is bittul hafkas mamon? And at one point, the Ramban wanted to say that bittul works like yeyush and aveda, that chametz, because it's out of your rishus, and it's asuri ba'anon, and you have to destroy it, it becomes like an aveda. Your bailus is a very tenuous kind of ownership. What can you get out of this chametz if you have to destroy it? So there, if it's a tenuous ownership, it's like an aveda. What can I get out of my object? How can I enjoy the benefit if it's lost? I don't even have access to it. And therefore, yeyush is chal. And yeyush and aveda is mafkia my mamon. Anyone can come along and take it. And so too, in the case of chametz, once I'm a vatel my chametz, that's like saying yeyush, I give up on my chametz. For me, it's gone, it's out of my orbit. And that's going to be mafkia, my bailus, and therefore I completely avoid violation of bayirah bayimatzah. The Ramban here at this point seems to be dropping his first definition of bittul and accepting his second definition of a bittul. Meaning he's dropping the hafkas shem chametz and he's substituting instead hafkas mamon. So let's see it inside. He says lamadati mimena, and if you don't mind, if you can comment if you see any discrepancy between what I'm reading and what you see in the text, because there's always room for error here. Lamadati mimena, so far so good.
Yeah.
She'en habitul nidrash lanu miloshen tashbisu el mimiut lecha siar. For who kimosha pirashti lamala, and I think he's referring to his second interpretation, the kevon shenis yayish, that yayish is alocha in choshe mishpat, to be mafkia bailus on an aveda. And in the case of chametz, he's not applying the arachayim kind of concept of the shem chametz as a shem iser. He's going back to the classical universal concepts that apply to choshen mishpat, like yeyush in the case of aveda. So what is bittul then? Is kevon shenisyayish mimenu mipnei isuro. Why does he give up on the chametz? Because it's asur in any event. So what does he gain by this chametz? So he says, you know what, this chametz is worthless for me. Umotzio midaito, bidaito, michlal mamon. As far as he's concerned, this is not worth anything. V'ein b'einov
Kisa or shalom.
Excellent. V'ein b'einov, it's not in his eyes like his own leavened bread or whatever you want to call it. Ela ke'ofar, it's like the dust on the earth. V'einov she'einov shavaklum. Oh, if that be the case, if it's einov shavaklum, that's exactly what yeyush is in an aveda. And In the case of chametz mipnei ha'iser, it's already considered an aveda. V'ein bo din mamon klal, and therefore yatsi yedei chovasa. In other words, what is tashbisu? Tashbisu is bittul, but what is bittul? Bittul is to be mafkia your mamon. Once it's ein bo din mamon klal, and it's out of his possession, it's like afar. It's like he was misyayishin in aveda. At that moment, he fulfills his mitzvah of tashbisu. In other words, once he avoids bal yiroh bal yimatze, then memela automatically he fulfills his mitzvah of tashbisu. So again, in the Yerushalmi and the Sifri, we are deriving bittul from lecha, meaning from the fact that it's after bittul, it's no longer yours. Which the Ramban identifies that with yeush. So Rav Soloveitchik points out the yeush beis in yonim b'tashbisu. There are two dimensions to tashbisu: bittul v'afkas bailus. And I think what he means by bittul is afkas shem chametz. And then you have Hafkas Bailus. Kefishet Gashnu Harbe Liel Amud 15. Alright, maybe if we have a chance we'll go back and just review that. But V'achshav Masbir HaRamban, I'm adding the word Ramban, Mitzad Dine Mamonos, Midin Yeish, V'lo Mitzad Hilchos Pesach. The Ramban is dropping the ball now on this Hafkas Shem Chometz concept. Bittul is no longer identified in the Ramban's favorite reference to Hafkas Shem Chometz. Here we build castles in the sky based on this breakthrough of the Ramban, but now the Ramban seems to be leaving it behind. And instead, he picks up the idea of Hafkas Mamon through the mechanism of Yeush. Vahainu, Me'achashib Sifri, Hishvu, number one, Shalacherim, Shal Gavah Val Yedei Bittul. Notice the Sifri excludes, based on the word Lecha, three cases. Number one, Shalacherim. Number two, Shal Gavah. And number three, through Bittul. Uli El, Pasar Bayis Vayirov Vayimotsu Mizgeret Shal Hilchas Pesach. Notice the way the Ramban had presented the mechanism of Bittul to circumvent or save him from violating Bal Yiroh Matzah was based on the concept of Chametz, and it's Allah Hilchas Pesach. V'oz lo hayalo ki'im divrei Rashi. Now this was based on Rashi. So when the Ramban is interpreting Rashi, which is the first page that we saw here in the Ramban, then he's going to operate within the four walls of Hilchas Pesach. And then Bittul is going to be Avkas Shem Chametz. He's not going to universalize it to Dine Mama. But when the Ramban is introduced already this Sifri, and the Sifri is equating Bittul with Chametz Shel Acherim, Chametz Shel Gavoa, which means that Bittul accomplishes Avkas Mamon, then the Ramban is leaving Rashi behind and he's interpreting the mechanism or the essence of Bittul in a way that Rabbeinu Tam would have interpreted the essence of Bittul, namely, it's a kind of a hefker. Again, the Ramban is not willing to call it hefker for many, many different reasons. Right? Hefker means b'fnei shlosha. Hefker means dvarim shebepeh, not dvarim shebelev. What else? I forget all the other objections to identify Bittul as hefker. But Bittul is yeish. And once a person is misyayish on an aveda, and he realizes that it's not worth anything for him, you know, he's not going to scour through the entire city in order to find his lost beads or whatever he lost. That becomes a hafkas mamon. And yeush is parallel to bittul. Or should I say it the other way around? Bittul is parallel to yeush. And it's hafkas shei mamon because it's not worth anything. It's not shove mamon. Now let's just think about two questions here. Number one, would a person be able to rescind his bittul? If you claim that bittul is hafkas shem chametz, well, yesterday I thought it wasn't chametz. In my mind it was like afar, but today I changed my mind. Today it's a good juicy piece of chametz, you know, a very beautiful pastry.
But there's a clause that goes out of Rishus. Ramban says once it's
a good trouble. Point, Sam. Yeah, 2 points for your team. But what I was trying to say is that you could imagine that according to the Ramban, it only leaves his rishus contingent on his bittul. And if he rescinds his bittul, it's kind of like what we discussed before about the bittul on nimshach. You know, there's an assumption, a continuous assumption, that he wants to get rid of his chametz. Once he breaks that assumption, the whole enterprise of bittul goes down the tubes. Right. The other way of learning it is the way Rabbeinu Tam learns it, and that's the Ramban here by Yeush, and that's Hafkas Mamon. If it's Hafkas Mamon, you can't just change your mind. Now again, there is something called Chatzer Shal Adam Konolo, but leave out Chatzer Shal Adam Konolo. That's point number one. And point number two is, why is it that bittul doesn't work after Shas Yisuro? If you're going with Hafkas Shem Chametz, then presumably even after Shas Yisuro, when there's a full blast, full Shem Chametz, I could be Mafkia the Shem Chametz. But if on the other hand you're talking about being Mafkia Mamon through bittul, that only applies when the Chametz is Birshuso, and I can be Mafkir something that I own. But after the Shas Isur, when we apply the principle of Hefker, excuse me, of Isurei Mamon, Isurei Anah, Lav Mamon in who, so it's already out of my Rishus, it doesn't make sense that I can be Mafkir. So those are the Nafkevitas that we mentioned. Then the Ramban says the following, see if you can find this inside the text. V'chol Elu L'divrei Torah.
Yeah.
You have it?
Sham B'Ramban.
Okay. No, but I'm saying you found it in the Ramban himself?
Oh,
no. I'm using you guys as my my editors
to make sure.
You have that?
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
So what is Ramban saying now, just on a simple level? And L'chor, the Ramban is not saying anything profound to you. He's saying that you have two choices. You could physically destroy it according to the Torah, or you could do bittul, or possibly even hefker. But the Rabbanan say you have to destroy it. Oh, now the Rabban offers another option, even on a Rabbanan level. You don't have to destroy it, but rather limchar velite linachri kodem zmano. That you have to sell your chametz, you can sell your chametz to a guy before the Shas Isur. Ukidivrei Beit Shammai, af b'mechiras ha'ena Yehudi hich'ah. He says the following, that Beit Shammai put their foot down and they would not allow selling chametz to a guy. We sell chametz to a guy because we accept Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai is not willing to accept and legalize selling chametz to a guy for whatever reason. There's some sort of gzeira d'rabbanan here.
Well, he says it.
Ela im ken yodua shiyachale kodem ha-pesach.
That the goyim
will, if it's something that's easily consumed and you can't leave it over, like kutach habavli, whatever the sugya is. And chashul ha-ram. Now, Beit Shammai is always afraid that maybe, you know, the sale will not be a valid sale. All right, this is sugya in the second paragraph.
There's some words that, some important things that were not quoted in there.
Oh, what's important? Chalei
Divrei Torah, Avod Medivrei Sofrim, it's Yishu Leva'er Lagamrei, Dilma Atu Lamechal Minei.
Right, well, again, that's before Beit Shammai. Meaning, even according to Beis Hillel, if you leave around your chametz sitting on your table, even though you've done bittul, whatever bittul accomplishes, you might come to eat the chametz. And therefore you have to destroy it. Again, does that apply to Chametz Sheni Yadua or only to Chametz Yadua? I mean, you have to rack your brains on that. What else did we skip?
You're okay.
No. We're okay. V'yesh lahasbir machidesh lono haramban bazeh. Notice Rav Soloveitchik is claiming that we could read this Ramban five times over and ask ourselves, well, he's just repeating what we know. We know that according to the Torah, you have many different options, but midirei sofen is only one option, and that is to destroy the chametz. Otherwise, you might come to eat the chametz. We know that there's an option of selling chametz to a guy, and that option, according to Beit Shammai, has to be whittled down because we have to make sure that the chametz is consumed before Shas Isuro. Otherwise, we're afraid of Harama. And Beis Hillel don't have that chup. So what did the Ramban add over here that we didn't know? He says the following. Midrabbanan in Bitel Velo Bodak. What's the status of someone who is Mevatel his chametz, but he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Bedika? In other words, halachically, according to his obligation, Midrabbanan, he has to do Bedika and destroy his chametz. He didn't do so. Now he finds chametz. What's the nature of this Isur? Again, on a deraisa level, he covered his bases, even though he found the chametz, because he did Bitl. But Rabbana, we're not going to rely on Bitl. What does that mean, we're not going to rely on Bitl? Does that mean that he was Mevatel this mitzvah, the Rabbana of Bedika? Or the Rabbana going a step further? They're saying not only was he Mevatel the mitzvah say of Bedika, mitzvah say the Rabbana, but he also violates the Isur of Balyarab by Yamatz. Again, Mid Rabbana, Mid Raisa, the Torah relies on Bitl. So, for example, you remember the Ransvar. The Ransvar was Ein Deo Sein Shavos, that we can't really rely that it'll do an absolute, sincere, genuine bittul because no two people are the same. So, if that be the case, then the Rabbanon are going to clamp an Iser Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh on him because they're not going to rely on his bittul. The other way of saying it is no, the Rabbanon rely on his bittul. And there's no Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh, but they require Bedika as a separate mitzvah. Let's call it Shema Yovel Yachlo, he might come to eat the chametz. So what happens, how do you define a person who did not do Bittel, I'm sorry, he did not do Bedika, he only did Bittel, and now he finds chametz. One way to say is that Min Rabbanan is considered he violated Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh, because we're not going to recognize the validity of his Bittel. The other way is to say no, he's violating an Isur Rabbanan of Bedika, he's being a Vatal Mitzvah Seh Min Rabbanan of Bedika, which was organized by the Chachamim in order to guarantee that you don't eat the chametz. So he says the following, Yesh lechalik ben shtei ha-gedoros shel bitul Ramban. In bitul of course, shem chametz. So it means that bitul accomplishes the goal of protecting him from Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh, because what bitul does is it removes the shem chametz. Az shayach lom shem rabbana nechmir v'yomru she'ein zev aspik. It's not enough to be mevatel your chametz. So tzrichim li'abed o limkar l'nochri. What does he mean? Ein zeh maspik? Is he saying that he violates Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh? Just one second. Oh, Shaykh Lomit Shemir Abonin Echmiru V'yomru she'ein zeh maspik U'tzrichem li'abed o limkar li'akum. Let's read another line, maybe it'll become clearer. But v'im hagdars bitul imamish hafkas mam legamre, like the Ramban earlier equated it with Yeush, im kein lomit itzrichu Ibud o mechira min rabbanan, hare ma mosif ibud o mechira o mechira akum shechosev v'bitul shemafkia mamono legamre. Ramban im rak bitel velo bodak ach kafi or ibe velo bodak, which means following the bedika to destroy the chametz or sell the chametz. Was over mirabbanan. According to the second shot, we're not going to rely on bittul to be mafkia his mamon, and then mirabbanan is going to violate Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh. But if, on the other hand, bittul equals hafkas shem chametz, that means it doesn't have a shem chametz, and therefore he's not in violation of Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh. And the Rabbanan are going to require that you destroy your chametz, but it doesn't mean that you violate even mid Rabbanan Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh. But if you're going to say that bittul equals hafkas mamon, then apparently the Rabbanan are not going to rely on your hafkas mamon, and therefore you're going to violate Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh unless you get rid of the chametz.
And the idea of getting rid of the chametz is that you won't come to eat it.
In which pshat? If you're talking about hafkas shem chametz, you're 100% right. If you're talking about hafkas shem mamon, he's already sold it. I'm not sure that we have to worry about shem yovel liochlo.
Why do we care what the akum does with it if we've already sold it and we have hafkas shem mamon?
Right, so the answer is that we're afraid that you weren't really mafkia yoshem mama. Like we said in the Ran, ain't they say in Shabbos, maybe he's not really totally sincere about his hefker, you know, his bittul. And therefore he violates by Yerubai Yimotzeh. Whereas if you go with the first path, the whole issue is really achilas chametz, but there's no issue by Yerubai Yimotzeh. The Alzeh mevi Aramban divrei Beit Shammai shechmiru shafilu mechira liakum eino moil elim kein yadua shiichle kodem haPesach. So what does he derive from that? Going on to page 23, v'ro'im mizeh, in other words, shma minah shafilu eina chometz nechshav shalcha adayin yitochen sheyavor lo v'bayiro v'yimotzei midur rabbanon. Now what's going on over here? If he would sell the chometz, because if we're afraid of harama, right? So the mechira is not a valid, not a real mechira. So if it's not a real mechira, then he violates lecha. He's a dain yitochen sheyavar olav v'bayroi v'yimotze midir abana. I'm trying to figure out what he means here. If the Ramban would be operating with Hafkar Shem Chometz, then there's no room for Bayura Bay Matzeh, because the Shem Chometz is gone. But if we're talking about Hafkar's Mammon, then we're not so sure, the Rabbanon were not willing to rely on this Hafkar's Mammon, and therefore he violates Bayura Bay Matzeh. And he's going to prove this, the second approach, from Beit Shammai. Because Beit Shammai are talking about selling Chometz to a guy, and there's no indication that the chametz will be eaten, will be consumed before Pesach, and Beit Shammai prohibits it. Ro'im, what do we see? She'af im ein ha-chametz nechshav l'shalcha. Nevertheless, he's violating by Yerubai Yimotzeh. How does he see in Beit Shammai that he's violating by Yerubai Yimotzeh? He sold it to a guy.
He goes back and forth. First he says it's Shehaya Kinyan Gamur, and then he says Moda Beit Hillel Beit Shammai Shelo Sagi Midura, that it's not a Kinyan Gamur.
Oh wait, you're a step ahead of me. Let me catch up to you. Ubitzir di Ein Kinyan Gamur El Kigon Bitul O Yeush Moda Beit Hillel Beit Shammai Shelo Sagi Midura Banon. So the Machlokas Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is only on Mechira, and Beit Hillel wants to validate that Mechira 1,000%. But Beis Hillel would agree that in the cases of Bittul or Yeush, as we called it, then that would not be sufficient. You need to destroy the chametz.
So a kinyan gomor means having sold it to the goy.
Correct.
Which is better than Bittul or Yeush.
Right. Bittul or Yeush is in that okay. You know, that sort of iffy kind of category where even Beis Hillel will be motivated to Beit Shammai that you need to destroy your chametz. You can't rely on Bittul or Yeush.
Yeah, right.
What I'm not sure about is how does Rav Soloveitchik know for sure that we're dealing with Bal Yerubai Yimotzeh in Beit Shammai's frame of reference? Because there's no Hafkas Shem chametz. He sold it to a guy. So at best you could say that there was a mechira here which took it out of his possession. So there's Hafkas Mammon. And yet Beis Shammai will not allow you to have your chametz, even though you sold it to a guy, and you mafkia mama. And the answer must be that since it's harama, maybe he's not sincere, it's not a binding, an absolute legally binding sale, and then he's going to violate by your rabbi Yimotzeh. So we're up to the paragraph here on page 23. What I'd like to do now is learn with you a little bit of Seder Ha'aruch.
Okay.
So we'll finish up the Ramban Bulineta tomorrow. Now, what I'm up to in Seder Ha'aruch is page Shin Lamed Tes, which I'm not sure that you have a copy of, because I don't remember what we photocopied and what we didn't. So can you find Shin Lamed...
present.
Shin Lamed Tes?
Yes.
You have it. Great.
And Shin Mem and Shin Mem Aleph. Gimel.
Great.
It looks like this.
Excellent. Okay. There may be an extra copy over here. I usually try to put some copies here if anybody wants to look. So we're studying a chapter about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let's just reiterate what we saw in the Rambam. Yeah. That we gave out.
I got it.
Yeah, we gave out last week. Do you have that? Shin Lamed Tes?
Yeah, I have some extra copies here too. Oh, okay,
so give Alicia an extra copy.
For you.
There's another copy.
So again, just to reiterate, the Rambam dedicates Perek Zion of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he establishes that we derive Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim from three different psukim. Now that's, I'm exaggerating a little bit. It works like this. There's one pasuk, and then he needs to clarify that pasuk with a different pasuk. So the second pasuk is really just a clarification or a proof to the first pasuk, and then he goes on to the second pasuk, which is actually number three in the sequence. So it's really one and three. What do I mean by one and three? The Rambam establishes the mitzvah based on Zocher es hayom hazeh sheyetzosem mimitzrayim. But then he adds a piece in the middle before he gets to the third pasuk of Vigadat to Lebincha, and he says, K'mo shenemar Zocher es yom hashavos. So that K'mo shenemar Zocher es yom hashavos is just a proof to interpret properly the pasuk Zocher es hayom hazeh sheyetzosem mimitzrayim. We don't know exactly, that's what we want to analyze today, what was the Rambam's what compelled the Rambam to clarify Zocher es yom hazeh sheyetzosem mimitzrayim by quoting the pasuk Zocher es yom hashavos. The second pasuk, he says, is V'igadat l'bincha, and now he has a whole new source for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So there's three psukim,
right? But keep in mind, Yosef, that the middle pasuk is not that would not be a fair. You cannot describe the middle pasuk as a source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I need it in order to establish the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the pasuk Zocher es hayom hazeh sheyetzosem Mitzrayim. There's something missing, and something that bothers us about that pasuk, that we have to prove it by quoting the pasuk Zocher es yom hashavos, etc. Now, in terms of why the Rambam needs two sources, the answer is the following. What happens, and this you'll see on the top of the next page, Shin Mem, if he's alone at the Seder? If you only have the source of Vigadat Lebincha, you're in trouble here, because Vigadat Lebincha means that you're passing on the tradition over to your son. That's a transmission to your son. But if you're alone, then there's no mitzvah Vigadat Lebincha. So for that, the Rambam needs the pasuk Zocher es hayom hazeh. Meaning, even though you don't have a son, and there's no literal fulfillment of Vigadat Lebincha, nevertheless, you fulfill the mitzvah, and you're obligated to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the other hand, he needs the pasuk Vigadat Lebincha to establish a separate entity, a separate machayev, within the framework of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, when he has a son. So there's one chiyuv called Zocher es hayom hazeh sheyetzosem mitzrayim, and then there's a specific chiyuv of Vigadat Lebincha. And this means that he has to stimulate the curiosity of the children and get to the state of Kiyish Alcha Bincha, etc., so that now he can respond to his child's question with Vigadat Lebincha, with the Haggadah. Now, the Mechilta says that even in the event that his son doesn't ask him any questions, he still could fulfill the mitzvah of Vigadat Lebincha in a kind of fallback position. That's not really the ideal way. Ideally, the child should be asking his own questions. But in event that the child, for whatever reason, doesn't get into it, whatever it is, and he doesn't ask his own questions, then Vigadat Lebincha means you, the father, take the initiative and pass on the tradition to him. But now let's get back to our original question. The Rambam has two psukim, both of which start with the word Zachar. The first is a source for the mitzvah of Sipur, and the second is a source for Kiddush, for the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos. What is the Rambam gaining here by adding Kamo, what's the language again, Kamo Shenemar, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos?
Does it have to do with the fact that Zohar and Yom HaShabbat is Zohrei Ul Yayin, that there has to be some kind of an action that you take, as opposed to a
mental... Okay, that's going to be number Gimel, the third answer. If you want to jump ahead on page Shin Mem Aleph, you see number Gimel, he's going to offer no less than six answers to this question, why the Rambam has to quote the Pasuk, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos. So we'll start with number Gimel, that's Yossi's favorite. And it says there, Kamosh B'Shabbos, Mitzvah Sazchir B'Yayin. The mitzvah of Zechira on Shabbos is B'Yayin. Kach mitzvah li'odam l'sapri tis Mitzrayim. Oh, I see. This is number Beis. Okay, we'll get to number Gimel. Beis is Kamosha B'Shabbos Menator Chayov B'Kiddush Rabbanan Omer Lizkar Sashabbos Al Yayin V'im Ein Lo Yayin Mekadosh Al Apas. Kach mitzvah sipri tis mitzray min haTorah chayovim lizkor saper benisim even without yayin. V'rabbanan tiknu l'saper al hayayin, but if ain lo yayin, he should recite Haggadah al hapas. So just like in Kiddush, your preferred way is yayin, and your fallback position is pas. So too with regard to sipri tis mitzrayim, the ideal is al hayayin. Now, Rabosai, do you remember that we had a long discussion in Perek Ayin Dalid? How long should he, at what points, or how long of a period of time should he be holding on to the Kos Yayin? You remember that discussion? So the Brisker Rav...
Hold it the whole time.
And that would seem to reflect itself in this approach, which he attributes to the Or Sameach, that just like in Kiddush, you have to recite Kiddush al Yayin in a fallback position al Pas. So too in Sipri Mitzrayim, you have to be Masaper al Yayin. And if that be the case, we're not just talking about the first kos, meaning Kiddush, but we're going through all four kosos. Which means that from when you finish the first kos and you're ready to pour the second kos, which terminates with the drinking of the second kos, during that entire period of time that there's a recitation that accompanies the second kos from beginning till the end, you require holding on to the koshel yayin.
And that's why you have to refill it, as opposed to waiting before you drink it to refill.
Exactly.
It has to be a full kos on the sipur.
Correct. So the sipur is made up of the four parts that correspond to the four kosos of yayin. Right? So you'll have the first bracha will be kiddush. That's the first element in Sipur. That requires a Kos Yayin. Then we get to the second element, which is called Magid. That's a heck of a long period of time until you finally drink the second Kos. All that should be recited on the second Kos. And then we get to the third Kos, which is the Kos of Hallel. And once again, you pour the Kos before you recite Hallel. And I'm claiming you even pick up the Kos and hold on to it. But in any event, and then you get to the Mirtza part, and again, you have a fourth. Well, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I skipped Birkas HaMazon, did I not? Ooh, that's fascinating. Ooh, if we take this approach, since the third kos of the four kosos is Birkas HaMazon, I'm going to have to hold on to my kos for Birkas HaMazon. So where's the Sipri Mitzrayim in Birkas? Well, actually, you could ask the same question as far as Kiddush is concerned. So let's focus on Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon, the first and the third kosos. Where's the Sipri Tis Mitzrayim?
It's mentioned in each.
I guess you have to say it's mentioned in each. Just the mentioning there. Although, again, that would sound like Zechiras Tis Mitzrayim, not Sipur, but there's some sort of element of Sipur that's integrated into both the Kiddush. I told you, I brought it in, but I didn't show it to you yet. That the Rav Sajigon has a tremendously long Kiddush on Leil HaSeder. Maybe he's trying to, upgrade Kiddush to the level of Sipri Tis Mitzrayim.
Have benching any different?
Yeah, I don't know that he has a different Birkas HaMazon. We don't mess around with Birkas HaMazon. I mean, that might be Doraisa, At least the first book is Doraisa. So let's do this keseder. I mean, we've already done beis, but let's go back to aleph. And this is based on Rav Epstein, you know, Baruch Epstein. He's the author of the
Torah Tmim.
Of the Torah Tmim, and he claims that just like in Maisa Bracious, there's Maisa Gvuras Hashem. In other words, when we fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, we say Zecher L'Maisa Bracious. Is that correct? Which means we're singing the praise of God's infinite power of creating the world. That's called Maisa Gvuras Hashem. And so too, by virtue of this equation, the mitzvah of Sipur requires remembering the miracles of Mitzrayim. So we have Zecher L'Maisa Bracious, which is the Kiddush of Shabbos, and we have the Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim of Leil HaPesach. Mm-hmm. Let's just think exactly why would the Rambam have to say Kemoshe Nemar Zochres Yom HaShabbos? I guess he's saying that the Rambam is defining the mitzvah of Zochres Yom HaZeh through the lens, you know, the perspective of Zechira Shabbos. And just like in Zechira Shabbos you have to remember the Gvuras Hashem in creating the world, so too in the mitzvah of Zochres Yom HaZeh Sheyetzias Mitzrayim, to remember the Gvuras Hashem in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's interesting, because then it means that the Kamosha Nemar of the Rambam in equating Zohar in Mitzrayim and Zohar in Shabbos is to explain the very tochen, the very content of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not bad. Okay. Then we had the second reason that the Rambam wants to derive the halacha that midrabbana they need a kos. Now we have the third answer. Kamosha b'Shabbos mitzvah azchira b'yayin af k'shonam levado. Because the Rambam wants to prove that the mitzvah... Oh, this makes a lot of sense. Because again, if the Rambam would have derived Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim from Yigadat L'Bincha, we would have assumed that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is contingent on the fact that he has a ben.
More people.
Oh, but now the Rambam has another source. He has Zohar. He wants to establish that Zohar applies even when there's no one else at the Seder table. And the Rambam illustrates that by equating it with Shabbos. Because in Shabbos there's no Vigadat L'Bincha. So that Zohar becomes independent of Vigadat L'Bincha. Then he gets up to number Dalit. That you need Zechira B'Peh. And so too you need Sipur B'Peh. It's not enough to think about it, you have to recite it out loud. And just like in Kiddush, you're not Yotzi unless it's Sipur Dvarim B'Peh, so too in Agada, you're not Yotzi until you have Sipur Dvarim B'Peh. Now at this point he says, what was the Havamina that you would be Yotzi in this mitzvah without enunciating the words? And the answer is because the whole year round we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and according to the opinion of some Rishonim, we don't know who they are yet, they would hold that you could be Yotzi the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Baal Peh, meaning with Zechira B'Alma.
Baal Peh or in your mind?
I mean in your mind, that's what I meant to say.
You can say Bayomer in your mind.
Right. So too, the mitzvah of Haggadah, insofar as it's just extending that mitzvah to the night of Pesach, but it's really the universal mitzvah the whole year round, so all you need is Zechira Belvad. You don't need B'Peh. But since we have the Zohar Zohar equating it to Kiddush, then just like Kiddush requires B'Peh, so too Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires B'Peh.
So the mitzvah is just superfluous then for Pesach to remember. It's the same mitzvah. It's a double mitzvah.
Just adding the requirement of B'Peh. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying according to the Havamina.
Oh, in the Havamina?
It's just an extra, a double mitzvah or something. Basically, you have to double remember.
Let's see if I could answer that question. Maybe it means that on this night. So the question is whether or not the chiyuv of zchius Yisrael is by yom or even by laila. That's machlokas Reb Lozman Azari and the Chacham Chovim. So let's say we're holding now. If you would be holding that the mitzvah of zechira is only by day,
so this is the other night, you have to do it at night. You have to remember at night. You know?
Right. What else?
Maybe you have to remember it was tonight. I don't know. I forget.
Well, that's not a bad idea. That's a very good idea. Zochar Hayom Aseh Sheyitzasim Mitzrayim. I don't know. So what are we up to now? Number hey?
Yeah, if you want to push it.
All right. So are they up to mincha? All right, so we'll stop here at number hey. If you can remind me that we're up to number hey, I'll try to make a little bit of a note of it. And then if anyone has time, you know, I don't know if I can appoint you, Sam, as this, or just to get the next Perek photocopy. It doesn't have to be today. You can do another day.
But if I'm not here tomorrow, I've got to get done today. So
the numbers are, the Perek test starts on Shin Mem Dalet. And if you go a little bit into the paragraph afterwards, Shin Mem Tes. Whatever even number you get, double-sided. I'll leave it here.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.